the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Great job. You all do a great job. Thank you, Bethany, for the great work picking out the songs, and all the musicians do a fantastic job. Turn to your neighbor and say, aren't you glad you're here? I hope you are. All right. Again, we are glad you're here, and I hope you're glad to be here. It's always great to be together. Good to see Jim and Leslie's daughter and son and husband with us this morning. And others that are traveling and visiting with us, we're glad you're here. We have some real special recognition to give out this morning. I saw a couple First Baptist Church shirts at the rodeo last night. So I appreciate those that wore your First Baptist Church shirt to the rodeo. I didn't even wear mine. Joanna says it wasn't Western enough. But those that had them on, I'm proud of you. And it was good to see some shirts. We had a good time at the rodeo last night. It was definitely a packed house. And the town and the rodeo association, the Wet Mountain Saddle Club, boy, they did a great job. It was just a great time. I hope you're able to go and enjoy that. And if you live here in town, you may have heard what was going on there at the rodeo with the announcers and all the excitement. So it was a good time. All right, take your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. We're going to continue back in our studies of great words of the Bible, great words of the Bible. And again, each and every time we go to these, we realize there's more that could be said and a lot more to study out. One more announcement I need to remember, I forgot to mention, is be in prayer for Dave and his family. Dave was back there in the sound booth for just a moment. His nephew was killed while riding his bike. He loved a bicycle. He lived in New York, and I guess it was maybe a drunk driver, someone under the influence, came off the road and killed his nephew, and he heard about that this morning. So be in prayer for Dave and his family during this difficult time. But Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 19, we won't read this verse yet, but just to give you an idea of what we're talking about the word hope. As we study the word hope, we realize that the word in Scripture is used differently than the way that you and I would use the word hope. In our society and in the English language, oftentimes we review the word or use the word hope as something that may come to pass. But in the Bible, the word hope is used as a future reality of something that will happen based upon the promises and the truth of God. There was once a young man that was watching a baseball game, and he was curious what the score was, and there was just kids playing at the park, and he went up to one of the young men that were sitting in the dugout, and he said, "What's the score?" to the young man. The young man responded by saying, "It's 18 to nothing." The man responded to him and said, "Boy, you must be discouraged." He said, "Not at all, sir. We've not got up to bat yet." So he had hope. He had hope in the future, something that would happen that would be a reality. Nowadays, most people use hope as a synonym for wish or a want or a desire. Oftentimes, we see the word hope by saying, "I hope," and then we add the word "so" to the end of it by saying, "I hope so," or "I hope this comes to pass. I hope I get the job. I hope I get the grades I'm pursuing. I hope I get accepted here or accepted there. I hope," we may say, "that my dreams will come true or that this or that may come to pass." And it's nothing more, as we use the word hope in today's society, it's nothing more than an expression of a wish, not of a reality. But in Scripture, we find that the use of the word hope in tying that to the promises of God is a understanding of reality. The way the Bible uses the word hope is not a wish or not a fantasy or not a dream or an illusion. It's not that we hope something works out. It is a reality. The word hope in Scripture is a fact not yet realized. A fact not yet realized. It's something, even though it may not be realized, through the power of God, it becomes reality. And so here in Hebrews chapter number 6, we begin to see what this means and how we understand the word hope. In Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 19, he says this, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil." We don't have time to go over everything that's taking place in Hebrews chapter number 6, but he's talking about the promises of God beginning in about verse 13 and following, and reminding us that the promises of God are based upon himself. That God, when God makes promises, he does it by himself. It's based upon his faithfulness and his reliability. And so he says, because of the work of Jesus Christ, we have a hope, he says, and he calls it an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And of course, when we see the word anchor, we recognize that an anchor is used in boating terms to secure a boat from moving or from drifting. And here in verse number 19, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is referred to as an anchor of the soul. His work is able to secure us based upon what he has done. And then he says at the end of verse number 19, and he says, "And which entereth in within the veil." There's so much we could discuss when he even mentions the veil here, referring to the Holy of Holies, the place that was understood as the presence of God. And then he says in verse number 20, "Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Some of you may be familiar what a forerunner means. It's not a Toyota vehicle, right? A forerunner is a reference to a small vessel. And what was understood, the forerunner was used for, is that when a larger ship would come into a harbor, especially under stormy conditions, they would not be able to enter in, fearful of rocks or running into shallow sandbars or whatever it may be. So they would lower a smaller vessel, and they would place the anchor for the larger ship in the smaller boat, or a dinghy as you and I would call it, and someone would take that anchor into the harbor and drop it in shallower water. And that anchor would secure the boat outside the harbor to such a time where it could be brought in together. And so that's what the picture is in Hebrews chapter number 6, is that Jesus Christ, through his work, through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection, has gone within the veil and has secured our salvation as we have trusted in Jesus Christ. Until such a time, our hope will become sight. And so Jesus is called the forerunner entered behind the veil. He has made the sacrifice. So that is why our hope is a reality and will even become more of a reality when we go to heaven. We will see what Christ fully has done for us. So Jesus Christ is our hope, he says, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Our hope is secured by Christ. He has taken his work and he has entered behind the veil. Go to Colossians chapter 1 now in your Bible. It's Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 3, where the Bible says this, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." And then he says in verse 5, "For the hope," he says, "for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel." Now, how is our hope laid up for us? I hope to explain this quickly and clearly. There's areas in which we understand that salvation is both past, present, and future. Recognize that. In the past, we are saved from sin. We are saved from sin. Some people would say we are saved from the penalty of sin the moment we accept Christ. I've explained these things to you before. In the present, we are saved from the power of sin, that through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, did you know you can have victory over the very power of sin? Before you were saved, you were a slave to sin. Like it or not, and believe it or not, you were a slave to the power of sin. Once you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you can have victory and have been given victory over the power of sin. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is within you than he that is of the world. Through Christ, you can now say no to sin. So our salvation is past, present, future. We are saved from the penalty of sin. We are saved from the power of sin. And then we get to how this word hope is used, as he says in verse number 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. There'll be a day through Christ that we will be delivered from the very presence of sin. And the longer I live, the more I look forward to that. When you look at the sin that is in the world, you look at the debauchery, look at the decisions, look at the deaths and the murders and the things that happen. We look forward to being saved from the very presence of sin. Our bodies are subject to these power of sin as we age and we get older. And so there'll be a day we have a hope which is laid up for us in heaven. We look forward to that day where we are saved not only as we have seen the penalty and the power from the very presence of sin. We call that glorification. And maybe that plays into why Romans 13, the Apostle Paul says, your salvation is nearer than ever. Talking about that future glorification where you will see the culmination of the work of Jesus Christ. And that's also why in Romans 8, go there quickly, the Bible says in Romans 8, verse number 23, he talks about how we are hoping for something that we have not yet seen, even though we recognize it as a reality. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 23, where the Bible says this, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. As you get older, have you ever said, oh, these aches and pains? No, of course not, right? We're looking forward to that redemption of the body. And that's what he says in verse number 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We have a hope that is laid up for us. We groan. We wait for the redemption of the body. We're tired of the sinful battle of our flesh. We've had our souls redeemed by faith in Jesus Christ, but we look forward for the hope that we have that is laid up for us because of Christ. And let me just tell you quick applications this morning, four quick applications about hope and what this means. Psalms 43. Go there in your Bibles quickly. Psalms 43. Some of the funny statements that I heard last night at the rodeo was the rodeo clown said, you're the type of guy that would call the number on a missing dog poster and bark in the phone and hang up. I thought that was funny for some reason. Maybe it's not funny, but to me it was funny. Bark in the phone and hang up. We had a little situation. Joanne and I went, and the kids went camping on Thursday and Friday night, and Jim and Leslie, as they typically do, watch over our cats. And we have a black cat named LeBron. Right? It's a girl. We thought it was a boy this whole time. Turns out it's a girl. What's the name now? LeBronda is the new name for the black cat. And so that was a tragic realization as we were gone camping, that LeBronda is our black cat, all right? So interesting. If you ever want cats that know how to catch a mouse and let them go, we're your people, all right? And it sounds like we may have kittens soon with LeBronda and the orange cat's name is Pickles. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But and so we have these things that we understand. So about hope, Psalms 43 in verse number 5. Where does our hope come from? How is it, Josh, you can say that hope is a reality? How is it you can say that we know what is coming? He says in Psalms 43 in verse number 5, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Asking a question within his own heart. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" He says, "Hope in God." Our hope is steadfast because it comes from God. Hope in God. "For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." So the first thing we have to understand about hope is that our hope comes from God. I tell you what, I've hoped in a lot of things in my life, and it's let me down many times. If I hope in this or hope in that, our hope needs to be in God. That's why the Bible says in Titus chapter 1 in verse number 2, "With the hope of eternal life, with the God who cannot lie. His promises are true. What he says comes to be." And so we realize about our hope that our hope is in God. Our hope is not in our own strength. Our hope is not in our own abilities. Our hope is not even for heaven. Our hope is not in our works, our keeping of the law. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in Christ for what he has done. And as we live our lives, we trust in him, we rely upon him, because we know who he is. Do we trust in him? Our hope comes from God. Where do you get your hope from? Good news you've received? Or a situation that you wanted to work out? That I'll have hope if I have that. Our hope comes from God. As a Christian, my hope of glory comes from God. My hope for this life comes from God. This world has let me down more times than I could ever count, but God never has. I trust in him. Number two, regarding hope, we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 16. Say, "But Josh, I don't deserve a hope such as this. How could God be so good to me to give me a hope that's not based upon myself or based upon my own abilities?" I believe we understand through Scripture that God gives hope by his grace. As he says in verse number 16, he says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." God gives us hope not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Hope comes to us by God's unmerited favor. As he says in verse number 16, "which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace," by means of his grace. Our source of hope is God. Our channel of hope is the gift of hope through his grace. Hope is not something deserved. It's not something you get because you were a good person, or you were such a righteous person, or a religious person, or whatever it may be. Hope comes by grace, and grace comes from God. Hope is utterly unearned, unmerited, and undeserved. It is what God gives. Hope. Wow, this is truth that we find. Go number three, Psalms 119. Hope is revealed through Scripture. Where do I find this hope? Go to Psalms 119. I don't know why I always love turning to Psalms 119. It just makes me happy because it's such a large book of the Bible. I've told you before, large chapter, I've told you before that my greatest nightmare is calling for a passage and not being able to find it. I cannot tell you how many times I've dreamed of preaching in different places and calling for a passage, and my dream goes on and on as I'm turning and turning and turning pages and pages, and I can never find what I'm looking for. And unfortunately, that dream has come true sometimes when I've had a typo in my notes or whatever it may be. But Psalms 119, verse 114. I love this portion of Scripture, but we recognize that our hope comes through the grace of God. Our hope is secure because it comes from God. And then we understand our hope is revealed to us by Scripture. As he says in verse 114, he says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield." He says, "I hope in thy word." Where do I find this hope you speak of, Josh? It comes through the word of God. I hope in your word. It's revealed to me through the truth of Scripture. Go to verse 116. He says, "Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope." We have a hope that has come from God. We have a hope that is supplied by grace. And we have a hope that has been revealed to us in Scripture. Scripture reveals to us the truth of who God is and what He has done. Number four this morning will be done. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Well, how secure is our hope? Our hope is secured because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No resurrection, no hope. But Christ rose from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. As Monty has on the board there, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Here's what's great about the hope we have. Our hope is alive. Have you ever put your hope in something that was dead? Something that had no life? Jesus is alive. And we have not only a hope, but a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a great hope, a reality that is to come. I shared this yesterday at the service for Jerry, but I read of a story of a man that was passing away, and his family was gathered around him, and everybody was crying. And the man, before he died, he said these words. He said, "If you could see what I'm seeing and you could hear what I'm hearing, you would not cry for me." His hope was becoming reality. What God had prepared. The Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love them." We've not seen them yet, but they're a reality. We know they're in our future because they have come from God, supplied by His grace, revealed to us in Scripture, and secured for us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have a Savior that has entered behind the veil as the forerunner and placed His sacrifice on our behalf. And because of His work, we also will be brought behind just as He has gone on before us. G.B. Hardy was a Canadian scientist, and he said this. He was in search for a religion. And as he searched for a religion, he asked two questions. He says this, number one, has anyone conquered death? And number two, did he make a way for me to do that also? G.B. Hardy searched the religions of the world. He said, "I found the Buddhist tomb occupied. as well as Muhammad's tomb occupied, and so forth and so on. All the religious leaders of the world, they had all kinds of claims, and yet when they died, they remained in their tomb. G.B. Hardy wrote, he said, "I came to Jesus' tomb, and it was empty." He then said, "I opened the New Testament and read, 'Because I live, you shall live also,' and my quest was over because of Jesus Christ. He is our hope. We trust in Him. It has come from God through the grace of God, revealed by the Scriptures of God, and secured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our hope is not, it might happen, it will happen, and has happened, and we trust in that reality because our faith and trust is in the God of all hope." Joanna and Bethany are going to come at this time and play closing song, a hymn of invitation for us. Let's bow our heads together this morning for just a moment as they play a song for us. What are you hoping in? Who are you hoping in today? Do we recognize how secure our hope is in Christ? Again, I know there's more to say. There's so much more to say about this glorious word. But may we recognize the reality of our hope because of Christ. Take a moment there in your seat. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ. Call upon Him by faith that you may have hope in Him. Maybe you're here today and you know Christ is your Savior, but you've been hoping in other things. If you have, your hope will not be steadfast. It will not be secure. Only the hope in Christ is steadfast and secure. Take a moment. Talk to the Lord. Thank you for the hope we have in Christ. Let's stand to our feet for just a moment. We're not going to be dismissed. We're just going to read our final verse. Then we're going to have you be seated, and Serenity is going to come and share her speech. for us this morning. So let's stand to our feet just briefly, and we'll read our verse together, and then we'll be seated for a moment, and Serenity's going to come and read her speech for us this morning. All right, ready? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13. One more time, nice and loud. Ready? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13. And we'll see you soon. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all you've done. Thank you for the hope we have in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that it's supplied by grace, not based upon our own abilities. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace that you show us each and every day. Lord, I ask you to continue to heal those that are going through health concerns. Heal their bodies. Lord, I pray for continued work of the Holy Spirit in each and every heart. And may we hope in you. May we recognize all that we have in Christ. Thank you for Serenity sharing her special speech with us this morning. Thank you for the talent you've given to her. And Lord, we just ask you to continue to lead and guide her every step. We thank you again for this day. We pray for your power to be upon all of us as we seek to serve you this week. Bring us back together at the appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.